We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome. I'm Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more about that and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for the Omega Institute. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Laura Rowley, your host for the next 50 minutes of this podcast. I'm an animal communicator, and as you may have gathered, I do a show about animal connectivity and how we connect with the animal kingdom in a unique way. There's a whole other level of it, I think, sometimes that many of us are not even aware of, a level that's pretty deep, pretty profound, that takes us into the emotional, you know, even the spiritual realms. And that's why they mean so much to us. That's why our pets, whether they're sport horses or gerbils or cats or dogs, that's why they mean so much to us, and why so many people call me every month to have a session to ask questions about their animals. Are they happy? Are they doing enough for their animals? Is there more they could do for their animals? And so I am honored, and I have a treasured position where I tune in on the phone, long distance, with animals all over the world to find out, you know, are they healthy? Are they happy? Are they in pain? Would they like something different? So sometimes I feel like my role as an animal communicator, I'm not really sure what other title there would be for the job that I do, is more like being maybe a postmistress or a postmaster, where I'm delivering mail all the time. I'm sending messages from one entity to another. A dog tells me how they feel. The person responds. The person says something about how they feel. So in that mix, I'm always interpreting visions, pictures. Animals think in pictures. A lot of animals think mostly in pictures. They also think in emotions, which is, I think we do that too, but maybe we're not as aware of doing that because we have a frontal lobe, and so we get mental and we think deductively with reasoning. Animals are blurrier with reasoning because they have their own sense of what's right or what's wrong or what should feel good or what shouldn't. And mostly they want harmony within themselves and with us. So they feel all these thoughts, it's the way they talk. And so I sit in the middle of that and listen to their thoughts, and it's like receiving a letter. And I think, how do I deliver this to the person so that they can read the letter, understand the emotions behind it, and really understand the deep ramifications, the deep meanings underneath the meanings? While I'm doing this work, a strange thing starts to happen where I'm hearing way more than the animal could possibly know about the situation and the life that they share with their person. So that's the topic of today's conversation, is this profound connections animals have to sort of the underpinnings of our lives. In other words, they know more about us than we realize they know about us. So lots of times I'll be on a conversation with a person and I start to get a lot of information that seems to be way more than, for instance, a dog could know. So the person justifiably will ask me, well, how does the dog know all this stuff about me? And that's where your spirit guides come in. I believe they start to sense that there's an open channel here. Let's help this person. Let's give them a little bit more information. You know, I titled this topic, The Love Triangle. So the three points of the love triangle are you, the person that's asking questions, your spirit guides who long to help you feel secure and help you find the answers to those questions, and your pet, who's in the unique position of loving you unconditionally. So that unconditional love, that amazing love that they carry, is a great carrier wave, if you will, for the messages that your spirit guides want to give you. So it's like we open up a channel that's like Love 101. That's the name of the channel. When we start to have a conversation between you and your pet, they start showing me images, you start to tell them how much you love them, and all of a sudden your spirit guides say, well, there's so much love in this space here, we're going to chime in and add a little love to it. We're going to add a little information to it. They understand on the other side, our spirit guides, our angels, whatever you want to call them, they're all the same thing. They understand that love, life is really a mystery, you know. We're on planet Earth in the mystery of what is life. And sometimes it's a fun dance because we have a sense of knowing what the mystery is about. We know where we belong in the mystery. We know that we're on our right path in the mystery. But then there's this other part of it, this other side, which isn't as much fun, honestly, when we don't know and we just feel confused. So life is sort of a dance, it seems to me, as the postmistress of all these messages, between feeling like we know, like we have our act together, right? We all want to have our act together, and feeling confused, and that we don't have our act together. In fact, maybe we're lost. Maybe we're not even on the right track. We're in the wrong job. We're with the wrong spouse. We live in the wrong place. So when you bring all of this together and you lay it out in a session where you're very open with me about how much you want to make your animal's life better, your guides step in to say, well, let's get you all on board to feeling better about what maybe is, would be a good hint to the mystery. Like, where are you a little amiss? Or aren't you at all amiss? Maybe you're fine. So I wanted to share with you some of the collaborative stories that happen on my daily life. You know, I do readings for people every day, work 5 days a week, most weeks, and they call up, they book it with my assistant Karen in advance, and we have a session. So in those sessions, lots of times some pretty amazing stuff comes out that's a big surprise to me as the postmistress, but I'm aware it's not my message. I just want to make sure that I safely deliver it. The person, though, sometimes is a little blindsided because maybe they called, for instance, about their dog, and now they're hearing about themselves. So as the sacred bearer of those messages, I have to ask myself, am I intruding by giving this message to this person? But it isn't. It's like it's a letter that got deposited to me saying, be very careful and give this to the person. It's not about you. Don't judge it. Don't edit. Don't look at it. Just give it to them. So that's what I try to do, which is, you know, fine with me, as long as the person doesn't mind receiving it. When I first started out, honestly, sometimes I'd be confused by, you know, the depth of this information and the wealth of this information that people were receiving, because I think, well, should I tell them this stuff? Do they even want to hear this? They called about their Labrador Retriever, and I'm hearing about their mother now, right, who crossed over, who's on the other side and wants to give them a message. But it's because there's a channel open, so that, for instance, in this example, the mother said, I want to send some love to my child. I'm going to do it through this lady who's really open, this Laura Rowley person, and I'm going to amplify whatever the animal is saying and get the person to explain that there's a message in this whole package that's a jewel. It's a pearl inside the oyster. And so I always sort of warn people, like, oh, there's more coming to you for some information, you know, do you want me to carry on? Because, of course, if they don't want to, that's their right to not open their letter if they don't want to open their letter. But it's my job to hand it to them. So in my work, that's what I do every day, and it's really wonderful. Sometimes it's very life-changing for the person, because when your spirit guides can step you on the path with a simple suggestion of you're looking at this a little bit the wrong way, they seem very eager to do that. They never tell us what to do. They never tell us we're wrong. Don't ever be afraid of messages from your guides. If you start getting messages that have to do with you being wrong, then those probably aren't messages from your guides. They're probably your own fears. Truly guided messages are affirming of who we are and what we are, and they might suggest that since you're on the path and you're heading this way, why don't you just glance over there and maybe you'll see something else. They don't tell you what to look at. But they might tell you why you're not looking freely around enough. They might point to some anxiety or fear you have that's holding you back, that's keeping you like kind of in a linear box when the world is a wide panoramic view all around us. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Sometimes we get thinking, I can only stare straight ahead, do what's before me now, take care of this exact business now. And our guides sometimes are sort of nudging us and saying, well, did you notice to the left? It's beautiful over there. Or did you see over here to the right? They don't tell us what to do. They suggest that we start to look that way. And I wanted to share with you some of the amazing stories that have happened to me. Well, some of these are just, you know, in the last couple months. I always change the names, and I change a little detail of the story, not the fundamental message of the story, because sometimes people just tell me, you can use this on your podcast if you want. This was amazing. But not everybody has given permission, and I always honor people's privacy. So I wanted to share some stories with you that kind of struck me as really beautifully showing us this idea that we have spiritual guidance and that our animals are part of this, or our pets, or our companion animals, whatever you want to call them. So let me just tell you what I mean. Let me give you a good example of this. I recently spoke with someone about 3 months ago, I'd say. Her name is Marcy, and she has a pack of dogs at her house. She had 5 dogs at her house. Two of whom she had bred herself, and one of whom was given to another family when he was a puppy. So that relationship with the other family didn't work out, and so that particular puppy called Tenka came back to her. She took him back because he wasn't getting along with the family. Their life circumstances because of COVID had changed, and so they were afraid they couldn't give him a good home. So he came back like a year later. He left as an 8-week puppy, came back as a year-old male dog. He'd been neutered. But when he came back, he and his pack, his little litter mate, which was a female, she was kind of small, her name was Lola. Lola and Tenka got into horrendous fights. And I mean, blood, stitches, the whole nine yards. Like, they were not just scraps. They were really serious fights. So Marcy called me because she was really distressed, as you can imagine, about her dogs fighting. And then when those two started to fight, the other 3 dogs of the household, of course, started to act totally upset and weird. And she just didn't know what her role was or what she should do now, like help them, because she felt committed to bringing Tenka back into the pack, back to his old home, and saying to him, I love you so much. You can always come home. We're here for you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. But Tenka was the one starting the fights. So Arcy and I discussed some of the animal behavior things behind why Tenka would be upset, and he was sort of fighting to find his place back in the house. And if she was going to keep him, she was going to have to be a very good pack leader and organize the pack and tell everybody what they could do or not do. She had to be a little bit of more of authoritarian or a dictator than she was really comfortable being. But they wanted order, and Tenka was thinking, well, I don't even know if I fit in here, so I'm just going to come in like a bombshell, fight everybody, especially the one nearest me, and work my way to the top again. He was a natural alpha dog. He left as a puppy, but he came back thinking, I'm going to lead this group. So he wasn't a bad dog, but she needed to either train him or think a little differently about her role. So she and I were hashing that out back and forth, talking to Tenka about it, talking to Marcy about it. It was going really well. And then all of a sudden I started to get this strange idea that actually there was more going on in the house, because I started to see teenagers or young adults all around Marcy. And then I heard a voice very compassionately saying that Marcy was their mom and that they were all meant to grow up and move out. So Marcy, as their mom, was in resistance to everybody growing up and sort of leaving the nest. And I saw this picture, a quick image. This is me being just the person in the middle, the postmistress. I see an image of she crying in her bedroom with teenagers kind of laughing and being teenagery in another room. And they're all scheming about where they're going to go next, and they can't wait to go. And she's sad because they can't go. So I thought, this doesn't have anything to do with Tanka and Lola and the dogs. So I started to tell her what I was seeing, and she got very quiet. And the message came through very clearly that these kids needed to kind of leave the nest. They needed to go find their own place. And that as a mom, it's only natural to want to protect them and keep them safe, and you try to allow them to make their own mistakes, but she was overprotecting them. Whenever they would leave, she would sort of invite them to come back home whenever they wanted, and they were coming home and leaving again, and coming home and leaving again. They were never really launching. And so her guides were saying, don't be afraid to allow them to launch. Like, you were holding them like a little, like a web almost. And if you just said, kids, I love you, but, you know, go on with your life, you've got this, you're all set, and embrace sort of the changes that were happening in her family instead of thinking, oh, no, this is horrible, my children are leaving. So her guides wanted to lovingly remind her, like, it's going to be okay, Marcy. They need to leave the nest because when they come back all the time, it causes a lot of chaos and a lot of anger with the kids that are still home, within Marcy's own heart, and even with the dogs. So Tanka, in his own weird way, was almost like the poster child for that, because he came home and wanted to know, how do I fit in? Where do I belong? Am I a top dog or am I the bottom dog? I don't want to be the bottom dog, so I'm going to fight with everybody. And so Marcy said, well, my kids are all arguing with each other. And you know, there's a lot of quarreling going on with them. You know, teenagers are tricky, right? They argue. They're supposed to be learning how to be their own person. So sometimes they bounce their ideas off of us as their adults and say, I'm challenging you because if I challenge you, then I'll understand myself better and I'll grow up to be a strong adult. And it's safe to challenge you before I go out into the real world, where I'd have to challenge other people who I don't know, who I don't understand, who might not be as kind as you. So they sort of launch off of their parents in a way that sometimes is super hard on the parents. You know, they're kind of cruel to us. They roll their eyes at us. We're so stupid, right? Anybody that's had a teenager has heard that line or seen that eye roll, right? So Tanka came home like a bomb and said, I'm going to just take over. And that's just what her kids were doing. They'd come home with a problem. They'd come home with a crisis. And they were in their mid-20s. It was time for them, actually. The eldest was in their mid-20s. The younger ones were younger. But they were all ready to kind of stop making everything be Marcy's problem and start taking the responsibility themselves of, if you go out into the world, find your problems, figure out how you're going to solve your problems, do your best with your problems, maybe check in with your parents for advice or help or support if you need it, but you don't need to come home and fight with everybody just because you kind of want attention and to feel secure yourself. So you can imagine that when I told Marcy all that, she just was like, where are you getting this from? And I said, well, these are your spirit guides telling you and giving you some ideas that it's okay to feel confused and it's okay that you've been struggling with all this, but they're also showing you that, you know, families evolve. They go from being, you know, your kids grow from being little and needing you to older and still needing you, but not always admitting that they need you, so that they get hard on you. So you have to evolve with that and not just act like the mommy. You have to act also like, well, I'm glad you've launched. I love you. How can we help you now that you're a grown-up? It's a different way to be a parent, right? Marcy was feeling like, oh, am I a failure? And I said, well, never. Your guides wouldn't point out you're failing, but, you know, I think you're maybe not evolving as much as you need to be in terms of you're making yourself responsible for your children who are starting to be adults' problems. And you have to help work them through it, and don't abandon your children, of course, but maybe you could just let them come home and not argue with each other and cause trouble too. And she laughs. She goes, wow, so I have a dog pack to figure out, you know, making Tanka happy. And I have a family pack to figure out. I said, kind of, but that's where you are. You know, it's okay. And I said, and if Tanka needs to go live with someone else, maybe he does need to leave the nest. She hated that idea because she wanted to take care of him till the day he died. But when we asked Tanka at the end of the session, would he like to stay there or would he like to go? Well, would they like to find a really nice home for him? You know, not take him to a shelter, but reposition him in a new home, knowing that if it didn't work, they would fix it for him. But he was time for him to leave the nest. Tanka said, I want to go. He said, it's too crowded here. There's too many animals. There's too many personalities. I'm not really particularly happy with this, which broke Marcy's heart. But, you know, everybody has to grow up how they have to grow up. And sometimes we have to let people go and we have to let animals go. And it's super hard to do. Marcy realized, I am hanging on to everybody. I'm hanging on to Tanka. I'm hanging on to the kids. And if I let go, everybody will relax. And if everybody relaxes, everybody will get happier. And she got a whole lot happier, and it was a really happy, wonderful session, and she found profound relief from thinking of her life differently now. She realized she could stop gripping onto all of this family and have a more relaxed, loving approach, and she'll figure it out, and she knew she would. And this is one of the tales that is amazing to me as the postmistress and the animal communicator, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll be back with some more tales in just a few. Thanks.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love? What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
The Soul Seat with psychic visionary Debbie Corr is where you'll discover how to awaken your soul, heal, and manifest. Are you searching for answers in all areas of life? Then have a seat and discover your life and soul's purpose. Whatever you're going through, Debbie's here to help you find your way forward. The Soul Seat can be heard every Tuesday at 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, when you can call Debbie to receive psychic answers and spiritual solutions right here on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hi, welcome back. This is Laura Rowley. You are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or to your mobile devices. You can learn more about the full schedule by going to dreamvision7radio.com for a schedule. If you would like to reach me personally, my name is Laura Rowley, and my website is laurarowleyhealer.com. I have a secretary, a lovely assistant named Karen. She can also be reached at 352-369-5993. If you want to book a session for yourself, or I also do workshops where you get a group of people together and we explore relationships with your animals, with yourself, with your spirit guides, personal development stuff. It's super fun. Just did one yesterday in Massachusetts with amazing people that had a great time. We got about 30 people and about 25 horses together. We spent 2 days together. They did riding. They rode around me at private lessons, and I told them what their horse wanted from them versus what they thought the horse wanted from them. And we had really a fun time. It was super productive, and I want to thank everyone that participated in that yesterday from Massachusetts. So I was telling you some more stories about this intense exchange that sometimes I get to bear witness to and have to kind of interpret and help people with, which is really a lovely thing for me to be able to do. And I appreciate how open and, I don't know, vulnerable my clients are willing to be. One particular person stands out. She called me because her riding horse, her name is Andrea, her riding horse was Pandora. And Pandora was kind of an older horse, an older mare. And Andrea was probably like her 15th home. You know, like Andrea found her late in life when the horse was already a little bit aged, a little elderly, a little arthritic. And Andrea was super interested in having a relationship with Pandora just as a, you know, her buddy. Just like they wanted to do a little dressage training, a little trail riding, and just be friends. So Andrea was a little afraid that Pandora was uncomfortable because she looked a little arthritic. And she was a little arthritic. So we had a good conversation with Pandora about what hurt her, what felt okay. Like, I think Pandora had trouble walking down hills and didn't want to do a lot of hill work day after day, needed to do different kind of a cross-training schedule so that her back didn't ache. So we talked all about that, figured out the pros and cons of all that. And I thought, oh, perfect, we're all set. And then all of a sudden Pandora said, well, the other thing is that Andrea never really makes a plan. And I want to talk to Andrea about this. So I could tell that this was actually some kind of guidance coming in right away. So I warned Andrea. I'm like, Pandora tells me you're not a good planner, and she wants more of a plan. But I think it has to do not with just her daily riding schedule, but with maybe your whole life. So here comes some information. She was all in. Andrea was like, bring it on. I want to hear this. So I said, okay. So her guides, kind of through Pandora, started to tell me that Andrea was a person with really good intentions, but that she had difficulty making a plan or a mapping a way to finish her intentions so that it ended up exactly how she wanted it to end up. So things sometimes went sideways on her. And Pandora gave me some examples of that was true. Like she was going to ride her the week before and they ordered a new saddle Andrea was supposed to go pick up the new saddle, but then lost the lady's address, couldn't get there on time. The woman left town, so the saddle didn't get delivered. So then Andrea was afraid to ride the horse in the wrong saddle, so she stopped riding Pandora. Pandora said, "I feel a lot better when I exercise every day. And I know Andrea wants to ride every day, but since we haven't had a saddle for, I don't know, a few days, a few weeks, she stopped riding me and she feels depressed. Why did she do that? Why didn't she just get the saddle? I'm not mad at her, but I'd like to know what she's thinking." And this is an example of how she doesn't seem to finish her good intentions. So Pandora was being super sweet. She wasn't mad, but she wonders why Andrea sort of self-sabotaged her own plans. So I never dilute the information. I try to say what I'm going to say to people as compassionately as I can, but as honestly as I can, because it's, again, I'm just the postmistress. I'm delivering the mail. It's up to you to do what you want with the mail. If you want to talk to me about the mail, I'll talk to you about it. If you don't even want to open it while I'm there, that's okay too. So I told Andrea that, who burst out crying, that she was letting herself down. She was letting the horse down. And so I let her cry for, you know, a while and process her feelings, because it's important to feel things sometimes to clear them up so that they don't become a big issue later. So when she got herself a little together, I said, "Well, Andrea, your guides are asking you through Pandora, why do you do that? And I think if you can find the answer to that question, your life will just be so much simpler. And I think you kind of avoid the answer. That's what Pandora is showing me." So Andrea knew right away what the answer was. She said, and started to tearfully say, "I didn't really realize how much I was doing this, but in the last couple weeks, I've been really realizing that if I start something and I don't quite finish it, then I won't ever make a mistake or fail." And she said, it's not just with Pandora. She said, "I've noticed," this is because her guides were helping her, "I've noticed that there's all kinds of things in my life that I start and never finish, and that way I never have to feel like a failure because I never really tried to start with." Now, she's a successful person in her own right. But things that, so if she did something for her boss, it got done. If it was a personal goal for herself or for Pandora, who was her sacred friend, she kind of blew it off because it was almost like she felt like, "Oh, I'm only good enough to do stuff for other people. I don't have to cherish my own goals. And if I don't really try, then I can't say I never tried. I can't say I never tried because I never tried." She had this weird like idea about that. And I said, "I know, I get it." So I said, "You're afraid to fail." And she said, "I am. I'm afraid I'll fail myself." And now, because Pandora came into her life, an elderly horse who needed her to get her act together, she said, "It's making me buck up, and that's why I ordered the saddle." And I said, "Okay, well, go get the darn thing." And she laughed. You know, we laughed about it. Human nature. So a good tale, because she really got a wake-up call. This horse was here to remind her that she has great intentions, so carry him out. She kind of forgot that her own intentions were actually worthy, was giving all of her power away in another way. Another interesting case was Tammy called me, and she had a little kitty whose name was Thomas, and Thomas suffered from irritable bowel syndrome, like IBS. IBS sometimes is thought of as an autoimmune disease where the gut becomes so inflamed and so distended that it becomes like a disease unto itself. And she had been using veterinarian assistance that had helped the cat, Thomas, a lot. But Tammy felt like she really had gained as much ground as she was hoping with all the medicines. She said, "It's interesting." She goes, "You know, I take probiotics and I do a lot of stuff for myself. And I'm wondering, should I be doing that stuff for the cat? Because when I have irritable bowel syndrome, I notice that like taking probiotics and prebiotics and changing my diet helps me. But the vet practice kind of wasn't leaning towards helping her that way. They were giving her steroids and helping, you know, the medical part of the situation. But she said, what can I do to be a little bit more proactive with setting the cat up to be as healthy as he could be?" So we talked all about that. So a lot of the same stuff that she does for herself, there's cat versions for, of the same products. And so I kind of guided her about where to go buy those and just helped her on her way so that she felt assured that, you know, Thomas needed that and wanted that. And he did want that because he wanted to help her feel better. He wanted to feel better. They were sort of sharing the same sort of trouble. So he was happy to help. Like, okay, yeah, I'll take those probiotics. Yeah, sure, get them for me. So, good. We set her on her path with that. But in the conversation, her guides showed up by starting to tell me way more information than Thomas the cat could have known. So that's how I knew as the postmistress that she was getting some messages here. And they showed me that she had lost someone dear to her in the last decade. It turns out it was her husband about 6 years earlier. Of many years, they were super close. She loved him very much. And she had not really recovered in her life, and she just sort of felt like, oh, I'll never find love again. I don't deserve love. It's not for me. You know, that was kind of her feeling. Like, I had a great love. She was only like 50-something. You know, that's how it is. I guess I won't have that again. And it was disheartening and kind of horrible for her because she had liked being married and liked being in love. And she said, the cat is telling me all this? And I said, your guides are wanting to help you with the love piece through the cat who wants to help you through the love piece. So the whole love piece here, because I want to help you through the love piece, is getting amplified, amplified, amplified. It's like a power triangle now. Your guides, you, the cat. So how are you preventing yourself from having love that you want going forward? You know the answer to that. Do you think about it? Do you want to talk about it? Well, she really wanted to talk about it. So we got into a really juicy conversation from her perspective. And she said she put a lot of thought into it. And she showed me that as a kid, she was in a caretaker role as a child. And then I saw clearly an image of her with a man. And he was in bed a lot, and she had to take care of him as a kid. And it turns out it was her father. He was ill. She loved him. She and her mom took care of him to the best of their ability for many years of his life. I don't know what was wrong with him, but he was chronically ill. So she had been sort of the giver of love as a little kid, helping dad, caretaking dad, helping mom caretake dad. And so that's kind of why she was comfortable in her role with the cat, Thomas. I'm just supposed to help Thomas. And I'll try to help myself, but I don't really need love and I don't really deserve love. And she realized that it was sort of her turn to collect love. It was her turn to start to receive love the more we talked. Because her guides showed me another image of people pulling up in cars to her house to try to take her places and help her because her irritable bowel syndrome got super severe at times, which is an autoimmune disease, which is when you turn yourself against yourself. Your immune system attacks a part of your own body. So all these people who thought she was, I don't know, lovely, admirable, they wanted to help her. They would show up to say, you know, come and keep me comfy. Come, let me take you to your doctor's appointment. How are you feeling? Do you need me to get you some groceries? She would say, no, that's okay. I got this. I'm all right. So she was saying, I'm not worthy of love. I don't want it collected on me. I'm only a giver of love. So she was kind of disallowing love, which is a form of an autoimmune disease. It's a form of saying, oh, I don't get to have the good stuff. I only have to just combat the hard stuff all the time. See what I mean? So the guides were saying, why don't you just start saying yes when people who love you want to help you? That's the only thing you have to do is say yes. So they showed a picture of the same picture, people pulling up to her house, her coming out, waving, smiling, and getting in a car and going off and having a nice day instead of staying home and feeling bad and not really taking care of herself emotionally, not really allowing people to love her through a crisis that she was having with her health. People want to give to us and help us. And sometimes the best thing we can do is raise our hand and say, pick me up. Yes, I'd love to go. I'm feeling a little blue about all this and I need a little support and help. So our guides were saying, go ahead and do that. This is a simple thing. She laughed. She goes, well, you'd think I made that about as torturous as I could make it in my life. I never let anybody help me. And she goes, I wonder why I'm doing that. And I said, well, that's just what your guides want you to do, is look at the mystery as a wonder. Why am I doing that? And could I do something different? And when the answer is, yes, I could do something different, they have done their job. And that's all they care about, because they love us and they want to help us. So you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'll be back shortly.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
Experience meditations intended to guide you deeper into the core of your being at Awakening Meditations, a weekend workshop with Rick Weinman. Rick has been a vehicle for accelerating spiritual evolution for almost 20 years, utilizing the divine energy and consciousness within the Vortex Healing lineage. Join him to create a space for true transformation to enter your life. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Rick Weinman's Awakening Meditations Workshop, July 30th to August 1st at Omega in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley. You are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for tuning in and downloading the podcast. It's really wonderful how many people do that and how supportive that feels to me as a healer of my work, because it feels like, oh, people are supporting me when they download it and they're interested in their own development and they're interested in help listening to other people's personal travails and helping, I don't know, support the whole idea that sometimes it's a community of all of us working together, working separately, trying to make our way in life. And you're downloading, it means a lot to me, and I want to thank everyone that's done that, because a lot of people, it turns out, have done that. So thank you very much for honoring the work I do and honoring the animals that help me do the work and all the people that listen to their animals and listen to me as the postmistress or the messenger of the animal kingdom here. So thank you very much. I had another interesting story to tell you, because I think we learn through stories, and stories are just an interesting way to learn. I know that I get to listen to all these stories every day when I do the readings that I do for people, and I just feel so amazed because I learn so much out of every single call I am on. Like, it teaches me so much. And so I'm hoping that as I pass these tales along to you, that you find the same gratification and peace that I get out of them. And hopefully I'm entertaining you, but mostly I'm hoping that you're taking out of it whatever it is you need to take out of it. So I want to tell you now about Smokey. Smokey was a cat that was causing trouble. She's kind of freaked out on Carrie, who owns Smokey or lives with Smokey. We don't really own animals, but sometimes we use that word sloppily. Anyway, Smokey started to, like, she brought Smokey into the house from a shelter. She didn't know anything about Smokey, so she wanted to know. Carrie was like, tell me what's going on with this nice cat. She's so peaceful. She sits on my lap. She's sweet as pie. But the minute someone comes over, she acts like we electrocuted her and shoots under the bed and screeches and won't come out maybe for a whole other day just because my friend stopped over to have a glass of, you know, wine or tea with me or something. So I'm terrifying this cat, and I feel horrible. Am I a good home for this cat, or, you know, can you give me some insights about what Smokey's thinking? So Smokey was very strong-minded, very clear, very interested in this question. And she said very clearly that she was Carrie's guardian. And so I told Carrie that, of course. And she said that Carrie needed her protection. And she needed a guardian. And she said that she was kind of like the home security system going off, you know, like that idea of like an alarm or a siren, that whenever anybody came over, the cat kind of freaked out. So I said, well, do you really think that Carrie needs that much protection? And she said, well, yes, she does. Carrie needs protection. And I said, from her friends that she's inviting over, you know, for a glass of wine? Really? We don't get this. I don't understand. Can you show me another picture? So then she showed me a picture where Carrie's guides started to come in, and because Carrie wanted to know the answer. So when you want to know the answer to the mystery, your guides go, oh, good, thanks for asking, because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to send you a dream. I'm going to give you a message through an animal. I'm going to have a friend say the same thing to you that your mother used to say to you, so that you all of a sudden hear there's a message inherent in life. So we were on the love channel. We had the triangle open between the cat, Carrie, and her spirit guides. So her spirit guides came through real quickly, and they said that Carrie is afraid to be free. She needs a guardian in her life because she prefers restrictions. So when I told that to Carrie, it kind of hurt her feelings, and she was upset. I mean, she's like, what? You know, I'm not a chicken. I live a perfectly normal life. I don't get this at all. This isn't resonating with me. So, kind of made her mad. So, sometimes your guidance system can be a tough crowd. If you've asked for help, they will continue to tell you, well, you're mistaken. There is still a message here for you. We're not wrong about this. So, I said to Carrie, I said, I want to honor that you're telling me that you don't agree with this, but I'm going to tell you what they want to give you more information on. In other words, you're looking at things out of a box. You're looking in a linear way at your life. They want to open the panoramic view and give you another idea here. So pardon me while I do that, okay? And she said, okay, go ahead if you're going to. I want the cat to be happy. I called about the cat. I don't know why we're talking about this. I have a great job, a great life. I'm highly successful. You know, I make a lot of money. People respect me. It's not like I choose restrictions. I just don't know what you're talking about. So then her guides came through with a picture of her like in a boardroom, and she looked like her suit that she was wearing, which was lovely and beautiful, but it also looked like a straitjacket. And then they showed a clock on the wall spinning and spinning and spinning, and all she was doing was sitting there working in her straitjacket of a life. And I said, I think that what they're trying to say is that you don't have any time for yourself. And she said, well, that's because I choose that. And I said, oh, so you choose to be restricted in your personal time. And she got very quiet. She said, well, that's my prerogative. And I said, of course it is. It's your life. But your guides want to suggest that maybe if you had more personal time, you know, other things would amplify in your life that would be enriching, you know, like love, health, exercise, whatever. I don't know what your life is like, but they're really firmly suggesting to you that you're working to avoid your life. So Carrie, who was a powerhouse, got very quiet and said, that's indeed what I am doing. So I said, okay, well, it's, you know, now you can think about that and think about what you want to do about it. Meanwhile, let's finish off with Smokey and see now that if we've relaxed your guard and got you to maybe be a little happier, would Smokey like to continue to live with you? And Smokey was all in, absolutely wanted to live with her, and said that she didn't need to be afraid of, like, people coming over to visit her and that she didn't have to work all the time. And look how stupid this looks when you do that, you know? And so Smokey was screaming and running under the bed, and I said, you're not screaming and running under the bed, but you're emotionally withdrawing from people and thinking, when can I get back to work? This is just a stupid social hour instead of being back at work. And she laughed. She goes, okay, I'm guilty. You know, and I got, it's always best when people laugh at themselves. That's how we heal. It's easy to be mad at ourselves. Oh, I shouldn't. Why do I? It's easy to resist. But really, if we can just laugh, it's a lot better. So she had a good sense of humor at the end of the day and quit being mad. And Smoking, she, I know next time I hear from them, I haven't heard from them in a while, but next time I hear from them, there'll be another chapter, that another evolution in how that all played out. Sometimes I don't hear the end of these stories for months or years after I'm involved in them. Another interesting case was when I was working with a dressage rider named Anita. So dressage is a form of, it's an Olympic sport with a horse, and you kind of do ballet with, when you do dressage. It's very precise movements. And it was designed back when there were, back when people had armies that had horses in them, which were cavalries. And in a cavalry, you had to be able to control your horse, you know, with minute, very quick decisions and aids, and the horse was expected to respond, because if you're at war and someone's trying to kill you, then you need your horse to be obedient and do what you need him to do immediately, and maybe not be able to have all your hands free to get it done because you're holding weaponry. So although that's all rather barbaric, that is where dressage came from, and now it's kind of an art form and it's a sport. Lots of people in lots of countries participate in it, where you practice these kind of almost like martial arts, where you practice the moves that a horse and rider would do to make them perfectly balanced, perfectly attuned to one another. So it's a beautiful sport to participate in. If your horse likes that and you like it, it's kind of awesome. So Anita was very dedicated to dressage, and she had a lovely horse that she imported from the Netherlands named Charm. And Charm, who had a fancier name than Charm when he was imported, really liked doing dressage. And she said, well, why won't he let me put the bridle on? That's the only reason I'm calling you. She said, once I'm on, we have this beautiful sessions together where I think the thought and the horse does it and executes perfectly. And he hugs me afterwards. We love each other. But, and then the next day I get there and he tosses his head. I can't put the bridle on. He flips his head. He's flinging his head at her. She said, I'm not very tall. He's super tall. I actually can't reach to put the bridle up over his ears. So could you just ask him to lower his head and so I can put the bridle on? He seems to love his work. Am I wrong about that? So we tuned into Charm. What's going on, Charm? Why are you acting like that? And then the minute you get the bridle on, she'd get on and go have a fabulous ride. Do you like your life? Does something hurt? Charm had another level where he was trained kind of harshly by his first trainer. Get over here, let me get this bridle on, we're getting to work, was kind of the person's attitude. And so Charm had some layers of mistrust and why can't you ask me nicely? And now Anita asked him nicely, but he still had some baggage, just like we all do, about I wish I would have learned this the easy way, I've learned it the hard way, so now I have to learn how to unlearn being resentful about it. Horses and dogs are more forgiving than people, but I think they struggle with that a lot. Cats do too. Really anybody does. But horses can really suffer from that. So we chatted with Charm about that and tried to let him know that Anita would never treat him that way, and she never had treated him that way, so he could start to trust that going forward it would still be that way. You know, like she'd never get too abrupt with him or rough with him. Her guides came in at that point and said that there was another level here where Anita, who was a strong individual, believed that she was always going to be alone in the world. And I said, do you believe that? I hate to ask you, but it will help me to understand the message. And she said, yes, I live alone. I feel like I'll never meet anybody that's going to be a good mate for me, and I prefer it that way. I'm happy. That's why I partner so well with my horses. It works for me. I said, okay, great. So your guides want to ask you if you feel like you're giving away your power if you were to find a mate. She paused and said, yes, that's why I don't choose to do that. She said it with such dignity. So her guide said, well, what if you weren't really giving away your power, like a horse being bridled is acknowledging that the rider's going to get on him and take control, right? If they don't ever put the bridle on, you can't take control. But what if the partner that you're inviting into your life is like how you are, Anita, with charm? You're never going to take control. You want a partnership. You want it to be happy. It's not about pushing your weight around. I said, what if you had a partner that was like that with you, how you are with charm, giving, willing, compromising? Why don't you assume that perhaps you could receive that as well? You could also have that partner in life. Maybe you'd like that better. And, you know, she said, I'm going to think about that. I've never even thought that was possible, but she had a rough upbringing, and she was raised harshly. She didn't want that in her life. And so she said, she was so appreciative for the conversation with her guides and thanked them for pushing her beyond her comfort zone and like reaching for love. So she heard the message. I don't know what she did with it, but she heard it and it touched her. And that's all that's important when you receive a message. So I hope that you have all enjoyed the messages that I've shared with you today. Thank you so much for listening time and time again. I really appreciate it. This is Laura Rowley, and you have been listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Thanks. Until next time.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.